حبيبنا وكفى السلام على عباد الذين اصطفى ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا والفتية إلى الكهف فقال ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ العشر الأواخر من سورة الكهف فإن عصمة له من فتنة الدجال رواه النسائي وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي My dear sister brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this blessed day of Jumu'ah. We ask Allah azza wa jalla that He protect us from all fitna of this world, the fitnas of the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all the Muslimin in every part of the earth in which they're having any difficulties. May Allah give them afiyah from the situation and make it easy for us to resurrect Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the judgment. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. So my dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us this beautiful transaction in the Quran. A beautiful transaction in the Quran. He tells us about this bay'ah that He has done. And to understand this transaction is very simple. We can give a very simple example. To get the point across. So for example, you have your mashallah iPhone 11 mashallah ta'ala, which are mashallah three camels mashallah on the back, because you needed that, right? Mashallah. Okay, so you have it, it costs you whatever amount of money it costs you. Someone comes up to you, a very well known trade businessman comes to you and says that I'll give you $2 million for this iPhone 11. I'll give you $2 million. Who wouldn't take that transaction? He says, but my deal is that you write it down on contract, you can get me for it, if I'm not good with the money, you can take whatever, you can put me in jail, whatever, I'll give you a contract, I'll make you sign it, and I'll sign it too, that I'm confirmed, guaranteed to give you it. But it's only going to come after a couple of years. It's not going to come right away. I want it now, and I'll give you the money later. Right? You give it now, I'll give it to you later. Right? So, mashallah, if it's $2 million, I'll wait as long as you want me to wait, man. Like, okay, if you're telling me to wait like 2 years, alright, that's good, I'm good with that. And no matter who comes in front of me and says, hey, can I have the iPhone? I'll give you it for 500, I'll give you it for 1,000, I'll give you it for 2,000. No, I got a guy, the best dealer in the world. He just told me $2 million. You can't match that. Now, what if the person promised you 10 million? What if the person promised you 100 million? What if the person promised you Jannah? Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum amwalum bi annahum al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I made a transaction. I took from the believers their lives and their wealth, and I promised them Jannah in return. This finite life that you and I have in this world, this very small life that you and I have in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your 80, 90, whatever years that you live in this world, I want all of it. I want your money too. I want it. And what I'm going to give you in return? Infinite life in Jannah. I'll give you infinite land in Jannah. I'll give you everything you want in Jannah. Whatever you want, you can have it. لَمْ فِيهَ مَا يَشَاءُونَ خَالِدِينَ Whatever they want, you'll have it forever in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand this. The iPhone example is easy, but when Allah ta'ala asked me to wake up at Fajr, it's a little bit more difficult now. I know He said, give me the life, but I don't want to give my life. It's very precious to me. But what Allah is promising in return, in exchange, is like the $2 million for the iPhone. You and I don't even understand that much money. You and I don't even understand Jannah. We don't have any comprehension of it. The Nabi explained it to us in a few words that we can get. But in reality, when we see the gates of Jannah, we'll all go back and say, Ya Allah, if I can only get one more Subhanallah. Well, I can get one more Allahu Akbar, one more La ilaha illallah. We want to give more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very difficult time that we live in. A very difficult time that we live in. Which is very qareeb min ahd al-dajjal. It's very close to the era or the time of Dajjal. And because of that, things are just always flipped. Everything is just all flipped. Nothing really makes sense anymore. And this time is very, very difficult. The Prophet ﷺ told us, in protection from this time, he said that people should recite Suratul Kahf. They should recite Suratul Kahf, which we should all be doing every Jumu'ah inshaAllah ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites the last 10 ayats of Surah Al-Kahf will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites the first 10 ayats will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites the entire thing will have a nur that will go from his head to his toe, protecting him from the fitna of Dajjal. We should try our best, inshallah, to recite the surah. And at the same time, not just recite it, but understand what it's saying. To understand what it's saying is really important. For why? Because of the reason that every single ayah of Surah Al-Kahf like the ulama have written about the surah. One alim wrote an entire book about the surah, saying that every single ayah of Surah Al-Kahf has one of the trials of Dajjal written in it, or one of the solutions against the trials of Dajjal. He says that the entire surah has been designed for the end of times. The entire surah has been designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the end of times. So that way the believers at the time that you and I live in now can have a way to survive. And I'll give you just a couple of insights, just things that you and I probably just noticed. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that about Iblis, that he أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّةَ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Do you take Iblis and his children to be protectors from you, to be protectors or allies or helpers for you, وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ, while they're your enemies? And this is a sign the ulama have written, that at the end of times, people will be engaged in satanic worship, that we see now in the music industry and the celebrity business, that these people are devil worshippers. Some of them are open devil worshippers, some of them are secret devil worshippers. We find that in Surah Al-Kahf. We find that one of the biggest questions of today is, why does Allah do this? Why is God doing this? Why is this here? Why is cancer there? Why is wars there? The problem of evil, they say it very commonly speaking. But in Surah Al-Kahf, we get that story about the problem of evil. It's the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. That Khidr alayhi salam was doing all these strange things. He's damaging the boat. He killed a kid. He did this. And people are, Musa alayhi salam is asking, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And this is an indication that what? People at the end of times will ask this question. That you don't understand the plan of Allah. You just submit to it. That's what we learn from that surah. And in even Dhulqarnain's story, he goes from east to west, he goes here and there, solving problems, fixing problems. It is exactly the same story of the Mahdi, radiallahu anhu. Surah Al-Kahf has everything about the end of times. If people just studied it properly, then they can get so much from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us hidayah and tawfiq, inshallah. So what do we find? What is the solution for our time? The difficult times that we face. It is Ashabul Kahf. It is the companions of the cave. It is these boys from the cave, which we hear many stories, different things, from the Christian narrative, from here and there. We never really study it the way the Quran wants us to study it. I'm only going to highlight a couple of points that will help you and I, inshallah, to survive in this time and keep our iman safe and protect our Islam. These are boys, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. He says, إِذَا وَالْفِتْيَةُ لِلْكَهْفِ فَقَالَ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَى آذَانِ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. He says, why did they go to the cave? What was the reason for them to go to the cave in the first place? It wasn't because of just, it was a nice vacation spot or a place to tour or whatever. They were going for protection. They were going for protection. Similarly, you and I in the end of times have to consider our protection, consider our safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the same way they went to the cave to protect their Islam, you and I also have to go into our own caves and protect our Islam. You have to protect yourself from the outside environment. Things will affect you. The television will affect you. Your Facebook will affect you. The WhatsApp and the Twitter will affect you. How do we know this is the truth of these ayat? فَضَرَبَنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِهِمْ. The brothers who know Arabic would say, an easy way to say we put them to sleep, it's just saying, أَنِمْنَاهُمْ. We put them to sleep, right? We put them out. We knocked them out. Easy. Allah says we hit their ears. ضَرَبَنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِهِمْ. We struck their ears. Why did Allah mention the ears? Because the ear is the faculty that you use for hearing. It is the function. It is the organ that you use for hearing. Similarly, at the end of times, we're just getting all this khabar, all this news, all this information. We're receiving information constantly. We're being overflowed, overstimulated with information. That's why you and I can't focus or concentrate anymore. Allah has said you have to hit your ears. Close your ears to these things. You hear about one problem, one problem, one problem. This person got killed, this person got murdered, this person got killed, whatever. Then what happens is we become desensitized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be careful all of it. Resensitize yourself. Put yourself in the cave. Conceal yourself like the Ashabul Kahf. They're amazing people. Allah preserved the story. They're not prophets. They're not even companions of prophets. They are ordinary kids. Youth. Just young boys. The ulama right from in teenage years. Young kids that they came to a realization that everyone in our society is completely wrong. They're worshipping something that we don't even know. We have to worship Allah. They understood that. They recognized that. And they said, what? We have to live our life worshipping Allah. And so then they banded together. They found that they're not only... I'm not the only one here. There's another kid here, another kid there. They all got together. And they all said to themselves that we have to stick together. We have to rely on each other. This is what Surah Al-Kahf is teaching us. That at the end of times, the Dajjal's target is what? How can I get everyone to be by themselves? You have an entire room of family members. A brother, a father, a sister, a mother. You have grandchildren in the room. Every single one of them has their phones. No one is talking to each other. This is how isolated we become. And this is what the surah is teaching us, is don't become isolated. Don't put yourself alone. Because once you're alone, shaitan will grab you. In the previous times, they used to say that a person can go to one masjid and do i'tikaf by himself. And then inshallah ta'ala, after that time of i'tikaf, he become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He become a true friend of Allah. In our times, the ulama say, you should go to the most crowded masjid that you can go to. You should go to the most crowded masjid. And then he said, what is the reason for it, Shaykh? He said, because when you, in our time, if you're by yourself in that masjid doing i'tikaf, you're never alone because your phone is with you. You'll find all the time in the world to talk to everyone in the world now, because now no one's there to watch you. But if you're around people, thora sa sharam lagta hai, you know, like a little bit of shame comes in the heart. And this guy's watching me, you know, I shouldn't do it, right? I don't need to play on my phone. So mashallah, they said that you should be with some people. You should band together. Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. When they came together, we tied down their hearts. We made their hearts firm. إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا. And then what happened? People were saying, why aren't you guys worshipping the idols anymore? Why aren't you following these worship of the idols anymore? And then they go say, they say, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They stood up. They challenged the society. They went against their friends. They went against their families. They went against their culture. They went against the entire government of the time. They went against everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is a reminder at the end of times, it's not going to be easy. Everyone expects it to be easy. That everyone will just band together and follow whatever Islam I'm doing. No, for you to be a true youth, a true youngster, worshipping Allah, know that no one's going to listen to you. No one's going to follow what you're doing. Everyone's going to come against you. And you need to stand up and say, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. My Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who's taking all the stuff you're doing is nonsense. We don't understand what you're doing. All this stuff is crazy. We have to be worshipping Allah. What do you find today? People, they don't have the idols of the outside anymore. Everyone just has the idols of the inside. Everyone is worshipping themselves. Everyone worships themselves. Where these kids are trying to spread Allah Ta'ala's name, we are the ones trying to spread our own fame. That we try to talk about ourselves. That how can I spread what food I ate? How can I show people what I did? I, nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. The real idol is ourselves today. We have to learn to oppose this nafs. And the same way they used to that we are speaking about ourselves, these kids are speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went against the king of their time. And then when they're speaking to the king, they told him that you are doing something that we don't understand. All these people, اتخذوا من دوني آلهة لو لا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين. Everyone at the end of times will try to put Islam on trial. They put these kids on trial and said, why are you worshipping this one God? And then that's what you find today. Everyone puts Islam on trial. The kids flip it. In the trial room, in the courtroom, they go and put everyone else on trial. They said, you're asking me for proof about Islam. You give me proof of what you're doing. You're telling me about how Islam is incorrect. You tell me how you're correct. Let's see what you're saying. They are so bold and powerful, they go and say, I know what I'm doing is right and I have proof. Show me your proof. That's what Allah tells us to do in the Quran at the end of times. These kids were they were tempted by everything. They were put into torture and abuse. They were going to be jailed and eventually to be executed. And none of these things are mentioned in the Quran about what happened and how they escaped any of that. Because Allah doesn't want you to focus on these things. What Allah focuses on in the Quran is just the quotes of these kids. Allah just wants you to hear what they were saying. Why does Allah want you to hear what they're saying? Because what they were saying is more important than what's happening on the outside. Allah doesn't want to tell you how they escaped from the prison or how they left the town or the community. Those are just things that happen in dunya. Allah says, look at my awliya. Look at my friends. Whatever they say is important to me. That you and I think our speech is not important at all. That what we say is useless. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these kids are just, people thought they were nobodies. Allah says, their speech is so important to me. So Allah says, وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأْبُوا إِلَى الْكَفْ. That the kids go and say that, okay, anyway you escape, when you're able to escape, and Allah Ta'ala interjects in the middle and he says, I'm so proud of these kids. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They only worship Allah. Allah Ta'ala, as the narrator of the story, he goes and says, وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You only can appreciate it when you hear it in Arabic, mashallah. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. They said, let's go to that hideout, that spot we used to have. You know the spot we used to sit and talk about Islam? We talked about Allah and the Prophet Muhammad. You know, we used to go to this place and talk about religion and Islam. Go to that spot. A spot that no one knows about. Only you and I know about it. They all say, alright, let's go together and go over there. وَيَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Before this part comes up, they make a very important dua. And I wish that inshallah we make this dua. This is a dua Allah that teaches us for the end of times. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. The dua, it has so many things behind it. I'll just give you 2 points from it. The dua reads, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا. Point number one is this. Oh Allah, I want you to give me
from you, min ladunka, especially you, an amazing mercy, a wonderful mercy, rahmatan, right? An amazing mercy from you, Ya Rabbul Alameen. They ask Allah Ta'ala not for a mercy. They don't ask for this mercy or that mercy. They said, Ya Allah, I don't want it coming through dunya. I don't want it coming through an angel. I don't want it coming through anything. I want it to come directly from you. They said, Allah, I don't want any okie-dokie, artichoke mercy. I want a special mercy from you, that you can solve my problems. That you will not even use the dunya or the akhirah to solve it. You will solve it through something that you will do. They asked for this mind-breaking, universe-shattering type of dua. Say, Ya Allah, I want something that will change the ahalat of the dunya from one to one, something special from you. That's dua number one, subhanAllah. Everyone say subhanAllah. And then the second part is what? وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And said, we want you to change that our situation right now, we want you to make it into guidance. The word tahiyya, what does it mean in Arabic? It's different from ja'ala. Ja'ala means that I can change something to another. I can convert certain materials to another material. Hayya is like what? You know, like you have like the quadratic equation in school, and they teach you like, you know, this is, you know, x squared plus 2x plus whatever equals this, right? Like, man, how the heck do I break it up into two parts? Like, it's easy. Just do the FOIL method. Just do FOIL. Front, you know, outer, inner, last, right? Just learn that, and then you can easily break it. It's an easy formula to learn, right? Easy for this equation. Allah, hayya means, Allah, whatever is happening right now, I want you to make it easy. I want you to make it easy. I want you to convert it and change it. Right now we're in a very hectic, chaotic situation. Ya Allah, I want you to make this hectic, chaotic, misguided situation into guidance. I want you to turn this situation we're in into something that can make sense. And so they make this dua, Ya Allah, this thing doesn't make sense to us right now. We want you to make sense of all of it for us. And then what do? They say this dua. And this is our situation. When we make dua, this happens. It's after A, B, Z, D, you know, plan A to Z. And then like plan zero was like, okay, we've ran out of options, now we make dua. The last thing we do is dua. The first thing they did was dua. The last thing we do is dua. The first thing they did is dua. The thing that happens with dua is what? When we say, let's make dua now. Just make dua, brother. Just make dua. Meaning the situation is hopeless. Right? I make dua, it's still hopeless. We make the dua, it's hopeless, right? That's how we feel. We have no yaqeen in our duas. They have such yaqeen in the du'as, after they make the du'a, they go to each other and says, يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّلْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْنِكُمْ مِنْ فَقَى. Again, the people who understand Arabic can benefit from it. But the idea is what? They go to all their friends and say, don't worry, Allah Ta'ala will give you His mercy. The first du'a they made was for mercy. And now they're telling each other, don't worry, Allah Ta'ala will give you mercy. وَيُهَيِّلْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْنِكُمْ مِنْ فَقَى. And Allah Ta'ala will convert the situation and make it good for you. They go around telling each other, don't worry, we just made dua, Allah Ta'ala will take care of everything now. And they go and encourage each other. At the end of time, you'll find a bunch of pessimistic people. A people that just hate you. A people that are just trolls. You want to find the worst trolls in the world? Go to YouTube comments. That's literally where most of our kids spend their time, reading comments after comments after comments. And getting upset. And then, you know, one uncle thinks, I'm going to respond to all of these comments and write something for Islam. No one cares about what you're saying, man. Just leave it alone. You're not going to change them. The negativity, you can't respond with more negativity. What can you do? Just ignore it. And what? Just be positive. They were just being positive. It's like, yeah, I know we just all ran away from our houses and our homes and everything. But don't worry, Allah will give you His mercy. Allah will spread His mercy. They're being so positive here, so optimistic. And they said, don't worry, that perhaps we're in a cave right now, but perhaps Allah will turn it into a mirfaq. They use the word mirfaq, which means a pillow. Perhaps Allah will turn this cave into a beautiful pillow for us. They're looking at everything with such an optimistic view. That's what you and I need to do. When we see a kid, mashallah, he gave up everything, started to grow his beard, girl started to wear a hijab, everyone starts to look at her with a condescending eye. Wow, look at her, how she was before. I remember this girl, I remember from her diapers. Why is she acting like this now? Why is he acting like this now? We are turning people down and turning people away from Allah. We never encourage anyone. But look at these kids, that all of them sacrificed and said, mashallah, good job. Don't worry, Allah will take care of it. Don't worry, you left that girl, Allah will give you a beautiful wife, inshallah. Don't worry about this, you left that haram job, Allah will give you a halal job. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. They're saying, don't worry to each other, Allah will take care of everything. They made a dua, Allah will make it a pillow. How they did not even know, they had no idea of understanding that Allah will not just make it a place of sleep for one night. Allah will make it sleep for years on end. A rest that they could never imagine that they ever receive in the dunya. And the word mirfaq is a place, it's actually used for a word that you use for reclining. When they said, Ya Allah, make this cave a place that we can recline on. It's a place where all the Muslimin recline on now too. That every time you come across a story, we all recline on this story. We all rely on this story. We all look to the story for guidance. Allah made their dua something they could not imagine. Same thing with Maryam alayhi's mother. She made a dua and said, Ya Allah, I protect her and her children. She didn't even know if Maryam alayhi's would have children. She didn't know her grandson would become a prophet. She just made dua and look what happened. That's how you and I need to make dua. Did they know that they'll become a source of what? That when the sun would come up, إِذَا طُلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرْ عَنْ كَهْفِمْ ذَاتِ الْيَمِينَ When the sun will come up, and the sun's natural habit is what? Every day will come up, and every day it has to come, and every day will shoot light. And you know, mashallah, what we do at home is, we have, we put up all our curtains in the morning because we don't want to wake up for Fajr, and you know, the light's coming in, and we're getting upset, right? So then we just close everything and go back to sleep. But subhanAllah, every time you close the curtain, there's always that one spot that you could not close properly. And that is that one spot that hits your eyes every single time. It's like I close everything, just this one spot is hitting me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every time the sun rose, I commanded the sun and I told the sun that every time your rays come to this cave, the rays will bend. All the rays will bend, will not touch the cave at all. You will go around. The sun will go around. The rays will go around. تَزَاوَرَ عَنْ كَفِيمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِيدُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ This is a miracle of Allah. And when it comes to the left, when it comes down to setting, then you do them a favor. You give them a loan. تَقْرِيدُهُمْ You do them a favor and just what? All the rays will shift again. Allah Ta'ala says, the external environment, don't worry about, O Muslims. While you are there protecting your Islam, Allah will take care of the world for you. Allah will take care of the world for you. And then secondly, what do we learn? That Allah Ta'ala says, when anytime their enemies try to come up to the cave, لَوِ اتَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا That Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتُمْ ذِرَاعِهِ بِلُصِيدٍ Anytime anyone tried to come and try to attack them in the cave, they saw an animal with his paws sticking out from the inside of the cave. They could not see what animal it was. It was just a small dog. But with the paws out, it looked very terrifying. So everyone ran away from the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the natural world, you don't have to worry about, Allah will protect you from that. And the unnatural, or the world that's trying to harm you, you don't have to worry about that as well. Allah says, I will protect you from both ways. And this is what happens when, subhanAllah, when Muslims start to be Muslims. They ask me all the time, how do you fill up your masjid so many times? How did this happen? How did this happen? ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ This is just a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we find is what, subhanAllah, that you're, mashallah, when they tell me, we only get like 30, 40 people for our Shabbat service. Or for our Sunday gatherings. This is how many people we get. I say, subhanAllah, that's how many people we get for Isha on a daily basis. They're like, how do you do it? They have such fear of you. They have such reverence of you. They have such respect of you. They wonder, like, why are their families broken? Your family's all okay. Why is that you can go to Disneyland and Umrah for vacation and they can't do anything? Why is it that you can come and worship Allah and they can't worship their God properly? They look at you with this reverence and respect as long as you're trying to protect your Islam. These kids, they wake up after such a long time. وَنُقَلِّبُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ Allah talks about that we wake them up. And subhanAllah, final point inshallah that we'll make, is the story is, mashallah, just so amazing. That these boys wake up, and Allah says, they also ask the question how long they stayed. Everyone's concerned with how long they stayed. I even mentioned it once, because that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is not how long were they in the cave. That doesn't matter. The point is what? What were these kids? When they ask each other, how long did you stay in the cave? رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ Why does that matter? They say, Allah knows best how long you stayed in the cave. What do we need to do? We need to be practical here. So they become as practical as they can, subhanAllah. That's why Allah loves them, is that they're always looking, how can they practice their Islam? Say, look man, we're really hungry. We gotta go into the town. And so they said what? You have to do two things while you're there. Number one is that, look for the azka ta'ama. This is a thing of the end of times, right? He said, look for the most halal food out there. Allah says that it's gonna be a fitna of the end of times. That you have to watch out for the halal food. Did they ever worry about it too? It's a sign of the awliya to be worried about halal food. Allahu Akbar, takbir, right? MashaAllah. And then the second thing is what? وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ Be nice. You have to engage with the outer world. You have to go out and practice your Islam outside. When you go there, number one, make sure it's halal what you're doing. And number two is what? Make sure you're speaking as gentle, as nice as you can. This is how you become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they went back to the town, when they finally met everyone and the matter was exposed, they said, you know what? We need to build them a masjid. That a masjid in honor of them. That all the sadaqah, all the things that they did, inshallah, this masjid will be sadaqah jariyah for them. That's what they did for these people, mashallah. What is this teaching us? That look, you want, Allah Ta'ala says in the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, the story about them, that you thought is an amazing story, Allah Ta'ala says, this is something I'll do for all my believers. Allah Ta'ala promises us in the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, that you think it's an amazing thing, I'll do this for all my believers. You and I just have to have faith.
and trust Allah and come for the masjid inshallah ta'ala. Don't worry about if other people are waking up for Fajr and if they're not going to wake up, I'm not going to wake up. No, you wake yourself up inshallah. You calm yourself. Don't worry about other people. On the day of judgment, we have no one else to worry about but your own. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tremendous benefit from the story. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not let us have weak iman at the end of times. We ask Allah ta'ala when Dajjal comes out, we can be the ones to see kafara on his forehead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people that can follow the Mahdi alayhi salam. We ask Allah ta'ala to raise us with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah.